Well, Merry Christmas. You know, this past Sunday, I taught on the birth of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Taught about the passage when Christ was born. And when Jesus was born, God stepped into human history, being humbly born as a human baby. He became real flesh and real blood. He didn't stop being God, but he started being human. And now, there's someone who can stand in between God and man, a mediator, who can help us to know God and reconcile us to God. And Joseph and Mary responded with obedience and trust. Angels responded with praise and joy. Wise men responded with worship and gifts. And this Christmas Eve, as we celebrate our Savior's birth, I think we need to ask ourselves, how should we respond to Jesus' birth? How should I react? How should this King of the universe, being born as a vulnerable baby, change my life? Tonight, on Christmas Eve 2020, what relevance does that baby have for me? And to answer those questions tonight, I would like to look at some of the very first people who were affected by Jesus' birth. A band of lowly shepherds. And as we see how Jesus touched their lives, we'll see how he might touch our lives as well. So in Luke 2, 8 through 14, just after the passage that Alex read, it says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." So our story begins shortly after the birth of Jesus in a nearby field, just outside of Bethlehem in an open field with a full view of the surrounding countryside and an impressive array of stars above is a group of shepherds. They live in a sort of gypsy encampment, spend most of their nights huddled on top of a stone platform in a camp around a campfire, catching what sleep they could, while a couple of them watch over the flocks. And the sheep these shepherds watched over, we know from Jewish tradition, was a special flock of sheep, a sheep set aside for sacrifice. And that night, as the temperature drops, the men take refuge in the warmth of their sheepskin coats. Above them, the sky is bright and clear. The moon is full. The sky is studded with stars. The air is pungent with the smell of sheep and campfire smoke. And except for a few faraway bleats and blahs, the hillside is quiet. And the fire's quiet. The popping yellow blaze starts whispering orangely among the embers. The fire's almost out when suddenly a glimmer of light appears to be shining out of nowhere. The curtain of the night is parted by a single angel, spilling the glory of heaven everywhere. An incandescent light awakens these men who now are on their faces, trembling, covering themselves with their coats. You see, in the Bible, angels evoke fear because they reflect a bit of the majesty and glory of God. And when God's presence spills out of heaven, these shepherds get a glimpse of the glory that's exploding into the night. And it says they were filled with great fear. The old King James Version says they were sore afraid. Literally, it says, when the glory of the Lord shone around them, they feared with a great fear. These shepherds were terrified. And you know, this past year, many of us have struggled with fear of earthly things. Fear of sickness and death and losing loved ones. Fear of financial disaster. Losing our livelihoods, not being able to get groceries, fear of political fallout, fear of broken relationships. And when we fear, what we often do is hide. In Genesis, the Bible describes Adam after he sins like this. It says, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam was fearful, and so he tries to hide his nakedness. And we do the same thing. Fear causes us to hide. It causes us to try to find something that we can wrap ourselves up with so we'll be safe. And we wrap ourselves up in precarious little things that we think will give us safety and security. We say, I'm safe because I have a good job. I'm safe because I have this security. I'm safe because I have a family and friends and money and health. But the truth is, underneath all that polish and assurance that everybody wraps themselves up in, often there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear. And what happens when God's presence shows up is it shows us how utterly weak all these things are. And you see, the truth is, we have all these earthly fears because we don't rightly fear God. See, these shepherds had a real reason to fear, and so do we. In Proverbs 9:10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what that means is we should have a right respect and honor and reverence before God so that we see ourselves rightly before him and we're humbly submitted to him. You see, God is glorious and mighty and perfect, and we have sinned against him. We have been outright disobedient to him. We've done things that we knew were wrong. We've turned our backs on him. We've made idols out of earthly things, preferring the creation to our Creator. And so often, we think of Jesus being born in a manger, and we don't realize who he is. We forget that this is the person who spoke planets and galaxies into existence. This is our Creator. This is the one who could decimate the universe with a word. He's the one who will one day return with fierce judgment. He's the one before whom heaven and earth will flee. That vulnerable baby was at the same time the all-knowing, all-seeing, perfect creator and judge of the universe. Hebrews 4:13 says, "No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." We usually don't associate Christmas with fear. We think of Christmas as being full of joy, and rightly so, because the story doesn't stop here. But to get the story right, we need to understand and remember the predicament that we're in apart from God. When heaven opened and the glory of God spilled out, these shepherds are rightly afraid because they're given a reminder of the glory of heaven. And at that moment, I guarantee you, all their earthly fears and concerns melted away in comparison to the fear they felt before God's glory radiating out of heaven. And one day you will stand before your Creator. And what do you think that moment will be like? When Job came into God's presence in Job 42:6, he said, "I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." When Isaiah came into God's presence in Isaiah 6:5, he said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When Peter realized who Jesus was in Luke 5:8, it says he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." God is holy. And as sinners coming before him, there is a right fear. We are guilty, deserving of judgment. And so these shepherds cower in fear at God's glory. But that's not the end of the story. As the old hymn says, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." You see, these shepherds find that coming to Jesus moves them from fear to faith. Let me show you Luke 2:10. It says this, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" These shepherds are cowering. They're terrified at the sight of this angel's presence. But although the appearance of this angel terrifies them, his words reassure them. Fear not. I bring you good news. I bring you gospel of great joy that will be for all people. And from within their coats, I imagine their eyes kind of glance up, trying to steal a glance. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. Prophets had foretold of this Savior. Kings had looked forward to his rule. From peasants to patriarchs, all of Israel has awaited him. And at last, could this be the time? Could this be him? The shepherds can hardly believe their ears. And as if anticipating their question, the angel tells them how they're going to recognize this Savior. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. And as the angel speaks, the curtain of heaven opens wider. And a dazzling array of light and colors spills onto the fields, revealing a company of angels, their voices joining together in a swell of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And as suddenly as they appeared, the choir steps back into heaven, drawing the curtain behind them. And what's the very next thing the shepherds do? Verse 15 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying, as has been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. As soon as the heavens close, these shepherds respond to good news with faith. They immediately say to one another, we gotta go. Let's go find this Savior. They're no longer afraid. They're no longer hiding under their coats. Instead, they heard this message, they believed it, and they went to their Savior in faith. It says they went with haste. They rushed. Their belief, their faith in the message they heard propelled them forward in faith. So let me ask you, are you living each day with a living, real faith in Jesus? Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him with your future? Do you trust him day by day? Do you have a living relationship of faith in your Savior? That's what he wants with you. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to trust him in a way that moves you to seek him. Don't let your faith in Jesus be something you just think about a couple times a year. Get connected to a church if you're not involved in one. Get connected in a way that will propel you forward in faith, in a daily relationship with Jesus. That's what he wants for us. You see, the good news is that Jesus has come to be our Savior. He didn't come to condemn us from our sins, but to rescue us. He didn't come to judge us as we deserved, but to save us. And the fact that he has come from heaven to earth to save us, and not just from heaven to earth, but from the earth he went to a cross and died a shameful death, shows us the depth of our sin. And now through Jesus' sacrifice, we can be reconciled to God. You can have a real, living relationship with the tri-personal God of the universe who made you. The debt of sin against you has been settled on the cross. Your guilt is atoned for. Your slate is clean. Your life is made new. Your hope is settled. Your future is secured. You have a Savior who loves you and came from heaven to earth to redeem you. That is really good news. And that's what the shepherds rush to go see. And so the question this Christmas is, will you continue to live in fear of earthly things, or will you live by faith in Jesus? Will you move from worry to worship? Will you move from anxiety to adoration? Will you move from fear to faith? The good news of Jesus coming moved these shepherds from fear to faith, and it can do the same for you. So let me invite the worship team to come back up. And let me ask you, when you look at Jesus and what he's done for you, the length he's gone to save you, how will you respond personally? Will you respond by moving from fear to faith like the shepherds? Will you respond with praise? Will you respond with obedience and trust? Will you respond with perseverance in the midst of difficulty? Will you respond with trust in the midst of not knowing what's to come? Put your full trust in him. Rest in him. Put your weight on him. Trust in him to deal with your sin and to give you hope forever. And live each day with faith in him. Right now, we're going to move into a time of lighting our candles. And as we light these candles, we want to let this symbolize our faith in Christ. That we have faith in him as a Savior. And the light symbolizes the faith, love, and light he's poured into each of our lives. And so, as we sing this next song, I'd like to invite those of you on the edges of the aisles to come forward and light your candles on these candles up front, and then pass that light down your row, and let's carefully watch over our children, Melissa, and pass the light down the row. So let me pray for us, and as we sing this song, we'll light our candles. Lord Jesus, we want to tell you that we trust you, that we love you, that we're grateful that you came from heaven to earth to save us. Thank you for being born as a vulnerable baby. Lord, thank you for coming to be like us, to save us. What a marvelous Savior you are. As we continue in our worship time, Lord, I pray that you would help us to surrender our fears to you, and that we would live in true faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.